What you are about to hear is the most important message you could ever listen to, or I could ever give. This is Jonathan Cahn, and what you're about to listen to is about you and the most important issue in your life, the most crucial, pivotal, central, and essential issue in your life. Now, you may have gotten this because somebody gave it to you, or you sent away for it, or you may have just found it. But the fact that it's ended up in your hands is no accident. There's a reason you've come across it, and there's a reason you're listening to it right now. So be open, because this is about you and the most important thing you could ever hear. And it will contain the keys to enable you to find what you've been seeking for your entire life. True happiness, true peace, real contentment, real fulfillment, real success, the purpose and meaning of your life, why you were born, why you were created, and where you will be 1,000 years from now, where you will be forever, and the secret of living a life of victory, and you living a life of joy and success and overcoming and fullness and well-being. Now, before we get started, let me tell you a few things. First, this tape appears in special and various forms, geared for people of all different backgrounds, finding new life in different languages and different forms. I'll tell you how you can find out about them and get them to give to others at the end of the message. Now, also, there's a sequel to this that'll give you the specific and practical steps and secrets to take to begin living a life of joy and that life of fulfillment and success and prosperity. It's called The Secrets of the Abundant Life, and it's also called First Steps. And I will seek to make that available to you completely as a free gift. And there are other special resources that'll be a blessing to your life. Now, how do you get the free gift and the other special resources, and also to find out about getting additional copies of this right now, and also to find out more, just write to us at Hope of the World, Box 1111, that's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip is 07644, and that's USA. So remember that when you get to the end of the tape to get the address if it's not there. Now, important, this tape is not a usual or normal tape. It's different. Listen to it differently. Listen to it as often as you need to. You can slow it down. You can stop it. You can go over it. Make sure you understand what's being said before you listen to it. Before you listen, if you're not really seeking or your heart is not really open, then turn it off and wait until you're ready, when you can put your full attention and focus and heart into it, because it is too important and it concerns your life. Now, the question, first question, where's your life heading? Where is your life heading? Well, ultimately, looking at it in a physical way, your life is heading ultimately to death. Next question, what then? Where will you be? Where are you going to be in eternity? Do you have eternal life? Would you be in the presence of God? How do you know that? Would you be in heaven? How do you know that? How sure are you? Are you hoping or are you sure? Next question, if you die today, you're in the presence of God. He said, why should I grant you heaven? What would your answer be? Why should he? Now, these are real important questions, because this life is temporary. It's a vapor compared to eternity. It's a small little thing, ever increasingly small. In the light of eternity, it is a ever distant memory. And so the most important thing is what is forever. And so it's so important that you get this right. You determine your eternity now. This tape, therefore, is so important in that it has to do with this, your life now and forever. And you owe it to yourself to consider it. Because if you answered that you weren't sure where you'd be, then you probably don't have eternal life. There's a relationship to that. I'll tell you about that as we go on. Now, if you gave a reason why I should be led into heaven, something like, well, I've been a good person, or I go to church, or I haven't hurt anybody, or I have a good heart, or God would never, well, then every answer was incorrect. And you have a real great need, and you owe it to yourself to know what salvation truly is all about and what the Word of God actually says about it. It doesn't matter what you've been brought up with. Doesn't matter your religion, if you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, Islamic, Muslim, atheist. What matters is finding the truth, finding a true relationship with God based upon His Word. And it doesn't matter what has been taught, what has been the tradition, what people say. The only thing that's going to matter is, what did God say? Now, before we go on, if you're an atheist or a skeptic or agnostic, that's okay. Obviously, there's not time here for me to go into a full presentation, but but just a few things to open your heart to. If God were to reveal his truth to the world, and if he did it in such a way as to last, then that writing or that book, that document would become, we would expect it would become the most crucial and pivotal central book in human history. Well, that's exactly what has become of the Bible. Now, we'd expect that document to outlast every other, to be the most widely read, the most life-changing, the most enduring, probably the most controversial. It could be the most attacked, but also something about it that makes it different from all others. That's exactly what the Bible has become. The Bible is the most translated book, the most widely read book in human history, to every tribe and tongue, virtually to all across the ages and across the world. Secondly, if God were to speak through one person, or if he were to come into the world through one life, that person we'd expect would become the most central figure in human history, the most universal, the most life-changing in human history. Well, that happened. It already happened 2,000 years ago. The name was and is Yeshua. That's his Hebrew name. In English, we know him as Jesus of Nazareth. He came, still changing lives today. There's no runner-up. There's no number two. Now, if God were speaking through a nation, we'd expect that that nation would become the most peculiar nation, the most controversial nation, some enduring, something about that, influential. Well, there is a nation, and that is the nation of Israel. There's something about it, and that is the people of that book. Now, the Bible is the only book in human history that foretells human events before they happen, hundreds of years before, thousands of years, and with 100% accuracy. And it's incredible. But from the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament to the New Testament, speaking of things which have only come to pass centuries after and even into our age, things that are happening right now. Without this, there's nothing really left. We have, aside from that, we have religions or philosophies based upon it, or we have gropings or hopeless hopes, striving for something, but no sure word of a revelation from God, that this is unique in human history. It's what he gave. Now, so I'm going to speak from that. I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking about church. That can be all part of it, but that's not the essence. It doesn't matter what you were born into. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your tradition is. It doesn't matter if you've been called a Christian or you come from a Christian home. That's not what the Bible says is salvation. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must. Now, you need to know what he meant by that and what exactly that means. And with an open heart, not by what's been told you, but by what he said. There comes a time in your life when you have to seek. You have to be open. I hope and pray that's now. Because there may only be a certain time when your heart is seeking or open. And this affects all eternity. He caused you to get this cassette. So I want to do something a little unorthodox here, and that is that you're where you are, I'm where I am, and we're in two different times and places right now, but God is in both places at once. And so I'm going to just open up with a quick, brief, simple heart prayer, okay? I'd ask if you can just agree with me with this. I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer of being open and God's blessing on your life right now, and that he would speak to you right now where you are as he is there. So I would ask if you can pray along with me and do as much as you can, okay, in one way or another, in just in agreeing in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask your blessing upon this one listening. You would open their heart, bless their life, touch them, Lord, and that their heart would be truly open to receive what you have for them. And I thank you in your sacred name. Amen. Now, one more note. If you need more on reasons why, we've got resources on that. You can write to that from the address I gave you. Or if you're from a specific background, Jewish background, the fact that the Hebrew scriptures speak of the coming Messiah being born in Bethlehem, dying on for our sins, that's in the Hebrew scriptures foretold centuries before. We have resources on that, or maybe you're from an Islamic background or many others. We have special things on that, but listen now, and if you need more, write to us, okay? Now, let's move to the heart of the issue. I want to tell you a story, a parable, one of the most famous in the world, and this is given by Jesus, and it's universal. You're in this. You're here in it. So the story is there was a man with two sons, and the two sons were both different. One of them came to the father one day and he said, listen, I'm tired of all this. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but tired of all this, Dad, and I want to go off on my own. And so just give me what's mine and I'm leaving you. So the father gave him what was his and the son took off and went to a foreign land. And there with the money that he had from his father, he spent it on all sorts of wasteful things and sinful things. And he just wasted his life, wasted his money. And he ended up with nothing, bankrupt. And then he had to get a job. There was a famine in that land. And just to live, he had to get a job. He got a job feeding pigs. And one day, as he was feeding the pigs, he said to himself, what am I doing here? I could be back home. Even my father's servants live better than I'm living now. So I'll go back. I'll go back to my father and I'll say, Dad, listen, please, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. But take me back, not as your son, but take me back as a servant and I'll work for you. So he sets off to go home and hopefully that his father would accept that. As he is approaching near his house, his father is standing there. You expect the father to say, you know, I told you so, or what are you doing back here? But instead, the father runs out to him and grabs him and hugs him and kisses him. And the son is there ready for his speech saying, Father, I've sinned against heaven. Please take me back down to your son. And the father, though, instead says, get the best robe and put it on my son. Get my ring, put it on his finger, and we will have a festival tonight, for my son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he is found. Now, this is the story of the prodigal son, and you are in it because you are, and we all are, you are the son. This is what God is saying to us, all of us. Each of us were created with a purpose to know God. It says in Psalm 139 that he had the days of your life all written before you were even born. He knew you in your mother's womb. There's a purpose for your life. You were born to have a relationship with him, to know your creator, to come into existence, to know his love, to be filled with his joy, filled with his peace, filled with purpose. And that's why without him, it's always empty. There's a purpose for your life. And that's why, you know, we spend our lives trying to give ourselves purpose, meaning, you know, we seek it through acceptance or money or excitement or a family or all different things to give it purpose, but only the one who made you can give you purpose. You were made to become a child of God. You know, there are those who say, you know, we're all children of God. Well, no, Hitler wasn't. And, you know, by nature, you know, remember that God is spirit. So if we are born of flesh, that's flesh. But to be born of God, we have to be born of the Spirit. And that's what the new birth is about. That's what it's about, which we'll get to. But so you were born with a purpose. But the next part of the parable is saying that, you know, the son took off and went his own way. Well, that's what's happened to all of us. We went off. We have all turned away from God in one way. This whole world has turned away from God, and we are born into that. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Now, it doesn't matter who it is. Deep down, you know, we can tell yourself, you know, you're fine, everything's, but you know what? Deep down, we know in our heart there's something deep down that is saying things are not right. You know, you can be successful. We can be successful in business or marriage or a million things, and we can get all sorts of things, but still deep down, something is saying there is something more. There's got to be something more. There's an emptiness there. You know, deep down, there is. It's like if you're driving a car and there's a warning light on there. You know, that is what the soul gives you, a warning light. Sometimes it might be a feeling of this emptiness or a feeling of just things are off kilter. And so it's real important that you heed that. You know, they're saying something and it's been in your heart and at different times you're more open than others, saying there's got to be something more to life. Deep down, there's an inner conflict or restlessness. So it doesn't matter what you have. I mean, you can have a million things, and we try to fill it with a million other things, you know, a career or, you know, a job or pleasures or pursuits of different things or a cause. But deep down, it's still there. And the reason is we've all turned away. Our nature has been to turn away from God. And a choice between God or ourselves, we've chosen the way of self, which is, you know, either the way of love, which is opening yourself up to him, or self-centeredness. And, you know, you could be the nicest person in the world, but deep down, still you're living for one reason or another. And you can be doing all sorts of nice things for people and out of duty or obligation, or you like to, you know, or whatever the reason. But the thing is that you're still, without God transforming your life, it's still being lived for yourself. Even if it looks righteous, it's still on the inside. God sees the inside. He looks at the deep down. And that's the most important voice. You know, the Bible speaks of this calling, you know, this God speaking as in a still small voice. And that's that voice that's saying, no, things are not right. Come. You know, the prodigal son, at first he seemed fine. You know, he had money, and as long as he had the money, he could spend it. He enjoyed some things, but it was still hollow. And once it ended, then he ended up poor and in need. And that's the next thing. You know, everybody's in a different position. And there are times, though, in our life, because we tend to be stubborn, that we often only come to God as a last resort. But that's a blessed time, because that's when our eyes are open. We find that the things that we thought were going to give us this, you know, fulfillment, they ended up leaving us wanting, leaving us empty. And that's why we're always trying to replace it. It's said that there's a God-shaped vacuum. See, there's a God-shaped vacuum in your heart. And you can spend your life trying to fill it with this and with that and with that. I'll get another thing. And, you know, it can even be religion. You know, religion is not God. Religion can replace God too. You know, you can think, well, if I go to enough services, if I do this, or if I give to charity, or if I say my prayers, you know, that may be fine, but that's not the same thing. Even that can't replace God, a heart-to-heart relationship. Even religion and tradition, that's not it. And the Bible doesn't say that's the way. It's God in your heart. There's a God-shaped vacuum without it. We seek success. When I get this, you know, when you get there, you say, well, there's got to be more, you know, or if people love me enough, you know, but then, you know, even if they accept you, you say, there's got to be more. Or if I can marry this person, that'll be it. All my emptiness will be fulfilled. And you marry and you find out, no, it's not quite. They might be a beautiful person, but still there's something. Or no, well, I'll have a child and that'll do it. Well, there's still something there. Or I'll fill my life with pleasures and or food or entertainments or material things or drinking or promiscuity, sexual pleasures or drugs or addictions, you know, but it always ends up empty in the end. There's something more. And, you know, we're like lost children looking for something, you know, and often it takes losing some of these things, like the prodigal son, or, you know, or the rug pulled out or something to see how empty it is. But in the, you know, in the end, we find every person disappoints. Every joy in the world grows old. Everything that glitters fades away. Everything passes. Everything fails us. Nothing can live up to that expectation because you're seeking for something more that the world cannot give. You're seeking for something that has to do with heaven. It is to come into your life now, but it's beyond what this world can give you. Even we fail ourselves. Now, if there wasn't an answer, there weren't an answer, you know, then we would not have a deep down seeking for something more. You know, if there wasn't something more, we wouldn't have this in our hearts. We'd be fine. But we're seeking because something's missing, and something's missing because something is there. Something is there to be found. It's like having a compass that says you're in the wrong direction. Well, then there has to be a right direction. See, we've all taken a road. You know, it's like kind of we turn off a road, you know, and inside it's like we are. It's like being a child in the woods lost, and the soul is like crying out, you know, and, you know, it doesn't matter who you are and what you have. And you could say, well, okay, well, now I'm there. But your soul is crying out like a child saying, no, I'm not. I need to be found. Something deep down in our soul, in your soul, there's a voice calling, come home, come home. And that's what happened with the prodigal son. The ultimate thing turns around when the prodigal son comes to his senses. Now, if he didn't come to his senses, he would have died in that land and he would have been forever separated from his father. Well, that links up to something also in the book of Romans, a hard truth, but it's as important as ever to hear. It says the wages of sin are death. And what it means, it's not just speaking about physical death. That's part of this, the natural world now. But what it's saying is that what sin does is to separate us from God. And if we don't come back to God, if we don't receive his way back, we go into eternity forever separated from God, because that's the way sin is going. And that's not God's will. That's not God's will at all. But that's just the way it happens. God made your soul to be eternal. And so now we have the choice in this life to choose him or to choose away from him. There's a story of a man when he was a boy, he was drowning in water, and another man jumped into the water and saved his life. Years later, the boy grew up, became a man, and he killed another man. He became a murderer. He was brought to the judge. The judge recognized him. The judge was the man who had jumped into the water to save that man's life as a little boy. And the man appealed to the judge. You know, you saved my life once, you know, save it again from the consequences. The judge said, when you were a boy and you were drowning in that lake, I could save you. I could give my life for yours. But now, as a man who's been convicted for taking a life, I have no choice. I cannot save you as a judge without violating the law. My heart was to be your savior, but my obligation now is to be your judge. Well, God is love. It's written in the Bible, God is love. He's merciful. His heart is to save, is to bless, is to give you meaning, is to give you fulfillment. But he is also, must be, also judge. He's truth. He's the light. He can never say that a little sin is okay or a little evil's okay or some evil's okay. I mean, he's not going to say, well, you know, a lot of hate is bad, but a little hate is okay. You know, if he were to let sin into heaven, people with sin. Now, think about that. If those came into heaven without, in a sense, having something changed in their life, if they came into, you came into heaven with sin, then ultimately heaven would have to have locks and bolts and police up there and prisons and murder. It would stop being heaven. You understand? You know, God cannot let in evil into what is good. And the problem is our hearts are joined to sin. You know, there's selfishness there. There's hatred or grudges or just selfish ambition or things that are impure, motives. And you know, truth and light requires that darkness has to be gone. And that's a good thing. We thank God for that. We want God to end what is evil. Well, the problem is that there's evil in our hearts too, if we're honest about it. And so we need salvation. God created your soul to be eternal. And so we're going to go from here to eternity. This is just like a bus stop, you know, where we choose. One day your breath is going to stop. It's going to happen. And that's why this message here is so important for you, that at one day, you know, we kind of put it off. We don't think about it, but it's going to happen. It's going to be real. And that's it. Then is eternity. And that's all that is there. Then at that time is eternity forever. No turning back. Now was the time to choose. And if you didn't choose him now, you can't choose after. There's no more choice. That's it. You're given a life to choose. If you didn't accept then, it's like rejecting your salvation, like the lifeguard throwing you a lifeline and you reject it. God, it's not God's will that you not be saved. It's God's will that you be saved. You know, only we can enter heaven if we have been touched by heaven now, if we have been changed. You know, what? Only that which can get into heaven is that which has become heavenly. You know, you don't earn it your way into heaven. You are born into it or born again. That's what it is. To go into eternity with God means you have him in your life now and you're naturally, that's where you're going to go. It's not a matter of, I hope I can do it. It's a sure thing, but you need to do it according to how he said it. And that is what heaven is, to be with God. And what is hell? That's to be separated from God, because to be separated from him is to be separated from love. It's to be separated from good and joy and everything that is good, everything that was truly good in your life was just a shadow of God. To be separated by your own choice forever from God. You can say, you know, it's either I did it my way or I did it his way. His way is heaven. Our way without him is heading away to a way that is separated from him forever. You know, now we can say, well, can't God just eliminate, you know, sin? You know, can't he just say, okay, it's gone? Okay. Say he did it. Say he said 12 o'clock tonight, all sin, all evil is going to be gone. The problem is our hearts are also connected to sin. And so if he does that, you know, he judges sin, then we get judged too. And so, and cast away, you know, and as sin is judged. So the whole point is to get saved now and to get separated from that. And if there's a way that could happen, you know, ultimately he is absolutely good. And so it's not a matter of saying, well, you know, I'm not as bad as this person or I'm not as bad. It doesn't matter. One ounce of evil is enough to separate you infinitely from that which is infinitely good. I mean, how the distance is infinite between that which is infinitely good and that which is not. There's an infinite gap. And that's a problem there. So God cannot, I mean, if he is good, and he is good, and he is loving, he cannot say, hey, well, this is good. You know, Nazism is good. Hatred is good. Persecution is good. You know, adultery is good. All these things. He cannot. That has to be cleansed. That has to be gone, taken out. But he doesn't want you, he wants you to remain. Sin will be forever separated. It has to be. And evil will forever be judged. It has to be. And that's what we call hell. But God made your spirit to be eternal, to know him and to be with him. It will be somewhere 1,000 years from now. And that is the ultimate issue of destiny, your destiny. You know, the fact that we can even have a choice regarding heaven is a gift, which I'm going to talk about. But the fact is that in that choice is left to you. You know, he cannot choose for you. You have to respond and choose either for or against. It's one way or the other. If you turn away, that's choosing against. If you ignore, that's choosing against. But to say yes, There's one way, and that's to receive it. Now, I said, if there's an infinite separation between God and us, how can you ever fill an infinite separation? How can you ever bridge that gap? Well, think about it. Only he who is infinite and infinitely good can bridge the gap of an infinite separation. Only God himself. Only God himself. It's written that God is, his will is that none would perish. It's not his will. You know, remember the picture that we gave. It was the Father. The Father never left the Son. God doesn't leave us. We leave him. But he was there waiting. And when the Son returned, he didn't say, you know, it's about time. He just ran and loved him and kissed him and hugged him. And that's God's love to you. It says, when we were, very much our heart was away from him, our life was away from him, even with our sins that are against him, he still loves us. He still loves you. God is love. And yet love is linked to a price. And here's the point of salvation. What is love? Think about it. Love is when you really, you feel for someone, you put yourself in their place. You transcend yourself. You put yourself in their place. You step into their shoes. Well, if God is love, think about it. What would be the greatest love that we could ever know? The most absolute, cosmic, incredible love that could ever be demonstrated. What would it be? It would be that God put himself in your place. God put himself in our place. The greatest love, and that is what Jesus is all about. That is what this man, Yeshua, this human life is all about. If God is love, and love is to put yourself in the place of another, especially one who needs help, you put yourself, then the greatest love is that God would put himself in our place, in our life, in our shoes, walk in our sandals, walk among us, feel our feelings, live our life, endure our sorrows, know our joys, and to ultimately step into our shoes to pay the price and to bridge the gap for our life. It's just to take our burdens. That's what love does, to take our burdens upon himself. That burden that we spoke about of sin, to take it to himself. The greatest love. You know, the words of this one, Messiah, Jesus, you cannot just hear it and just say, okay, he was a good teacher. That's not enough. He doesn't leave that open. Some people say, oh, he's a great teacher. He was a prophet, or he was this, or he's one of the manifestations of divine. That's not enough. He didn't leave that open. He said, he spoke that this is, his life is God coming down here. That makes him either, you could say he's a liar, you can say he's a lunatic, or you can say he's Lord. But you can't just say, oh, he's a nice man, and that's fine, or nice teachings, or... This is about the love of God come to your life, not just to the world, but when does it become real? It's when it comes to your life. Even now, you getting this cassette and hearing this now is him reaching out to you. You know, it's amazing. You know, his life is the only life that was prophesied of in detail centuries before. You can find this all in the Hebrew Scriptures in the Old Testament, which was finished centuries before that he came. It says that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. That's Micah 5:2, the prophet. It says that he will come to Jerusalem. That's Daniel 9. It gives the exact time mathematically, and that he would die. In Isaiah 53, it says he would die for our sins. It says that he would become a light to the nations in Isaiah. It says that in Zechariah, he will come riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. That's in Zechariah 9:9. It says he will be coming again. It speaks about a day when Israel is back in the world and the nations are centered on the controversy of the Middle East. And there's a whole thing to that, which I can't get into now. The fact is, the Bible gives all the evidence, and it's incredible. There is no life like this life. The fact is, not only did he fulfill all those prophecies, exactly what was said, and it's there, and you can check it out, but he has become the central figure of human history, and that's exactly what you'd expect him to become. The love of God. God coming into our shoes to touch your life. God coming down that you could come up. How do we get up? How do we get to a heavenly life? Well, that which is heavenly comes down. Now, turn to the next side if this is on a two-sided media, and I'll give you the answer and the joy and the good news for your life. Imagine you're in the ocean and you're drowning, and there are people on the shore and they're shouting to you advice and they're saying, just swim to the lifeguard. If you can just swim harder, and hopefully you'll reach the lifeguard. And they'll all give you different advice about how to reach the lifeguard. Well, the problem is that that's not what the lifeguard's all about. The whole point of a lifeguard is to save. You don't reach the lifeguard. The lifeguard reaches you. And that can sum up all sorts of different philosophies of men and religions of men that say, you know, you have to just do this. If you do this good enough, if you live by this rule, you live by this discipline, and you do this enough, or you, it doesn't matter, from the East to the West, all across the world, different religions and philosophies are all based upon that, that you can just attain holiness, attain heaven, attain God. But that's not what a lifeguard is. The lifeguard is the one who jumps in the water to save you. And in all of human history, there is only one. And there is only one faith. There is only one example. There is only one period. What is salvation? It's not you reaching the lifeguard. It's the lifeguard jumping into the water to save you. And that is exactly what the gospel is. It is God who is the lifeguard. God doesn't just sit there saying, you know, you got to swim to me. He jumps in. He comes to our life in Jesus. That's exactly what this is all about, to save us. Let me give it to you another way. You know, if you need to be washed, you know, you can get some water. You need something to wash with. You get water in it, you know, that can wash you physically. But spiritually, you can't wash away the past. You can't change the past and make it disappear. You can't just take it away, except by having one who is greater than you, something more. Only the love of God can wash you from that. Only God's life can wash you. Only God, who is light, can wash you from the darkness. The presence of God is the answer. So he doesn't send gold to us. You know, if you love somebody, you know, he didn't send gold or diamonds or silver or money. Love gives itself, ultimately. God, the greatest love, is he who gives himself. And that's what the cross is about. When you see that, it's not a religious thing. It's not, it was a horrible thing. It was capital punishment. But it was also a beautiful thing, because what does love do? It puts itself in the place of another, and it gives itself. And that is, it gives its life for us. How do we rise to heaven? We can't. But he can descend from it, that we can come up. If you're in a pit and someone just says, hey, just get yourself out of the pit. Go ahead. Well, you know, it doesn't happen. But someone who is from above the pit can reach in or come down to pull you out of it. And that's what the gospel is, the good news. The gospel just means the good news. The heavenly God came and comes to your life to grab your hand, to come into your place. He took upon himself your burdens, your sins, our darkness, our problems, our evil, all the junk that in our life, the things that weigh us down, our past, all these things. He took it upon himself that you could have his blessing. And that he received that, and that's what the bearing of the burdens, that's what the cross is, love in our shoes, in our place. Because we said before that, you know, there has to be a time when evil is and sin is cast away, that which can never enter into the presence of God. But only in this way, that's what the cross is, that he took upon himself that you could be free of it. That you could be free. How do we enter heaven? Heaven enters us. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't attain it, except be born into it by his blessing, by his love. It's not religion. It's a relationship. The Bible doesn't talk about religion much at all. It talks about the relationship throughout. He said you must be born again. And again, that's what you see on that hill with the figure of Jesus on that cross. That's what it's about. That's an ending. He came that the old would be ended. The old life would be ended. The junk would be ended. That the life that's passing away anyway could be ended in him in a way that we could have a new beginning. And that's what the resurrection's about. It's that the love of God overcomes judgment. It overcomes sin. It overcomes darkness. It overcomes hopelessness. It overcomes anger. It overcomes all these things. The love of God overcomes it. And the life of God overcomes death. And that's what it's about a new beginning, a new life, the old life. There's a way that can be finished, that we can find the new life, which is the heavenly life. It's a life that begins with us receiving the gift
of him. Forgiveness for our sins, blessings, and washing and cleansing that we could be new. You know, only God is the one who can give a new beginning. He's the one who begins everything. That's his business. So a new beginning can only come from him, through him, a new beginning. But in order to be a new beginning, there's got to be an end to the old stuff. And that's, again, what salvation is about. Not just what you see there when you see the love of God on that cross, but when it becomes real in your life, when you receive that, that the old life of your life recedes and the new life is born. And so he said, you must be born again. See, there's no one like this one, Jesus. There's no other hope like it. There's no other assurance like it. It's not about hoping to get in. It's not about if I can be good enough. I mean, where's the new thing in that? I mean, you know, that's just based on us trying to be good. But if we could do it, we wouldn't be in the mess we were in the first place. Just look at this life and you can see, and look at history and you can see the mess that man has been in. We need something new. There's one way. You know that the name Jesus in Hebrew, the real name was Yeshua. And you know what Yeshua means? It means God is your salvation. He's the way. There's no other way that can give this. And so it's for you. Our soul cries out for this. There's a longing. This is a gift. You know, I read before, it said in Romans that the wages of sin is death, but it says that the gift of life is eternal life. Eternal life is the gift of God, the grace of God. But we have to choose it while we still have breath. See, we've gotten to the point where the prodigal son is coming back to the father. But the thing that really changes the whole story, the thing that really does it, is if his father wasn't willing to accept him or extend grace, you know, and there's a price to his father, what he bore, you know, by bearing all this that happened, there would be no redemption. So the good news is God gives us a gift. You know, every other way, philosophy, religion, and even things people do in the name of Jesus, because a lot of stuff that's done in the name of religion of Jesus, not really what he said at all, but so much. The natural way of man is to try to reach up. It's like a hand reaching up to heaven to try to attain it. But that's not salvation. Salvation is a hand reaching down from heaven. There's a radical difference. Radical difference. You know? And it doesn't matter what your life and you know, you could, you know, people try to, oh, I'll do good, or I'll do things religiously. I'll be religious and I'll do this. It doesn't matter. If you have a cup of water and you put even a drop of ink in it, no matter, you can add as much water as you want. It's still going to always have that impurity in it. You can give all your money to the poor and that could be good. And you can do all sorts of, you know, incredible things, but you know, it still cannot erase that thing. It's only God's presence, you know? And if you're not doing it from his presence, then you're just doing it from your emptiness. If it's not doing it from being filled by him, something good in that gift, you know, that's why it's written in John 3. It says, God so loved the world. That's John 3:16. That he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but should have everlasting life. Whoever would believe in him. And that means, it also says in another part of that in John, the beginning, it says, those who received him would become children of God. He'd give them the blessing of becoming children of God. God has come to your life. That's what it's about. What is Jesus, Yeshua? That's God's love come to your life. You know, if you had a friend or someone who laid down his life for you, that's the greatest love. Well, imagine that God, the greatest love, that's exactly what he would do. Not that he had to, but to choose because of love. God stepping into your shoes, fulfilling the price. You know, it's kind of like as if you were found guilty and you're ready to go to execution. And the last moment you find that the king gave his life for you instead. Love. What is love? God is love. And God puts himself in your shoes. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. You know, it's like getting married. You know, someone says, you know, the two pledge themselves to each other. They're not saying to each other, well, you know, I'll see you on Sundays, you know, or I'll give you a call when I need help. But for many people, that's exactly what it is with God. That's not a real relationship. And that's not salvation. It's each one says to the other, I will be yours. I receive your life. I give you mine. You know, and I receive that, the blessing, and I'll be with you always. You're my first love. The greatest love, you know, love pays the price, and that is what the cross is. The greatest price is the life of God. There's no other, we can never hear any other greater account, greater message, greater love, greater anything And no one else can do it, and no one else can fill it. The only one who could fill you is the one who made you and the one who you were born to know. The greatest love, to give you a new life, to end the guilt, end the loneliness, end the emptiness, end the restlessness, end the hopelessness, end what was wrong, end the sin, and make you what you were made to become, to make you that. You know, there's only one that, you know, there are many, many ways and ideas or religions that can talk about what you have to do this. You know, they speak about the price, but nothing pays the price. There's only one that has the payment of the price, which is God. Only God can fill the absence of God. And it didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. It happens when you receive him. And so that's what it's about. And so it also says in John, it says in John chapter 3, it says that a man came to Jesus at night. One of the ruling council, a Jewish man named Nicodemus, came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who was sent from God. No one could perform the miracles you do if God were not with him." And it says that Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, How can a man be born again or born when he's old? He can't enter into his mother's womb a second time to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, unless man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will, where it pleases you. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Now, the thing is this, it's not religion, it's about being born again. And that being born again is not some philosophy, and it's not some formula, it's not some ritual. He's talking about the heart, he's talking about your life. You know, your first birth, being born, that was real. And that determined your whole life. Well, now the new birth determines your eternity. God's love for you. Remember, God is spirit, and to be born of him, you need to be born of spirit. And that's something that didn't happen naturally or because you were born. You didn't have a choice of being born, but you do have a choice of saying yes to God now. And so that's what it is. The free gift of God is eternal life in Messiah. You must be born again by grace. You can't earn it. That's what the word grace means. You can't earn a gift. If your parents gave you a gift and they gave you a bill, it's not a gift. Well, salvation, we couldn't do it. We couldn't earn it. So it's a gift. And so it doesn't matter. You know, if you say, "I'm pretty good, I'm not that bad." No, that we all fall short, and none could do it on themselves. On the other hand, you could say, "My life is so bad," or "I'm so far from God, it would never accept me." Well, that's missing it too. It's not about you. It's about him. Your part is to receive it. It's not centered on ourselves. That's the thing. You can never be good enough. But on the other hand, you could never be so far. There's no sin that is so deep that God's love is not deeper than that. There's no pit you could be in that God's love is not deeper than that pit. It doesn't matter how good we might think we are. We're not. We need. And we need to be saved. On the other hand, you know, it says that there's no sin we've committed that the love of God in the blood of Messiah, meaning in the death and in the giving of his life, is not greater. You know, it's not religion. The Bible never says church saves you. You know, I mean, going to gathering together, yes, that's part of it. But this is God's hope. This is the new birth, you know? And so meaning that if you will turn to God, the way is open by his gift. It's only a chance. It's a blessing. It is only open by his grace. But that's why the prodigal son, that's why that parable is so important. We got to return home. And the good news is that his arms are open and the price is paid and that he will receive us back. You know, you can have real assurance about heaven. It's not, "I hope I make it into heaven," but the assurance, you know, that because that which is born of God is going to be with God, becoming a child of God, not just a servant, you know, not just a servant, but a child who has the nature of God. You receive God, you know, you want him to be with God forever. How does that happen? Well, we receive him now. You know, if we're not with him now, it's not going to be then. You know, this is the time of choosing. You know, the bad news is, you know, you could never earn salvation if you had a million lifetimes. But the good news is you don't have to, because it's a gift. It's God. It's a gift. It's not earned. It's either accepted, received, or rejected. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are, all you who labor and are burdened down, and I'll give you rest. Come." You know, he will not reject you. He will not reject the one who comes, honestly comes to him as you are. You know, you don't have to do things you just come as you are. But you must come. He cannot make you, will not make you come. It is your choice. If you receive him, it says the old is passed away. the gift of new life. There's no more judgment, no more guilt, no more condemnation. You can be assured you have eternal life by his promise. He will not reject you, but you need to come. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter how religious or how not. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter if it's the, it doesn't matter at all. No, Jesus tells also the parable of a man who, it's called the pearl of the good price, also very famous. And that is that a man knew that there was a pearl buried in this field. And so he sold everything he had to, that he could buy that field. And then in that field was the pearl of good price. It's called the precious pearl, the treasure. Well, now, was the treasure, did he buy the treasure? No, the treasure was free and it was worth far more than the field. But he still gave what he had to have it. And so the same thing that God, the gift of salvation to you is a treasure, and it's free. It's priceless because that means it's too good for a price, and yet it's free because of it. At the same time, because it's a treasure, you live it with all your strength, with all your heart. You put all into it. And so therefore, you know, eternity is too long. This life is too short. This is the word of God. It's not a matter of feelings. It's not a matter of someone, a hearsay, or someone telling you this or that. This is the word of God. There is nothing else in this entire life that we pass through or in human history that has this assurance or this authority or this to back it up. And so it's so crucial. You know, we do not risk your eternal destiny. Do not leave it to chance. Do not leave it because someone told you. You know, people can say things in the name of religion. They can have traditions over centuries that pass down that change. But here, this is the word of God, and I encourage you to check it for yourself. But this is God's own authoritative word. When Messiah passed by someone, he would say, "Follow me." And they had the choice. They could hold on to their old life, you know, or they can go with it. They can say, "Oh, I'll follow you tomorrow." But you know what? Tomorrow never comes. You know, and they say, "Oh, well, you know, I don't." There's a choice you have to make. So he's passing by you right now. That's what this tape is. That's what this message is. He's passing by you right now, and he's calling you, and he's saying, "Come, follow me. Come into the kingdom. Follow me. I'll give you eternal life, but you need to turn from the past and follow me now and make me Lord of your life. Follow me. I will be faithful to you. Come, and I will not reject you." Again, never talks about religion or tradition. It's what God says. And he says you must be born again. It says no one can enter the kingdom of God unless that one is born again. And so how do you become born again? It's real simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. It says if you receive him into your heart, follow him, you will be born again. It starts with a simple prayer. You know, it's saying, "Lord, come into my life. Forgive me, receive me," like the prodigal son said, but wash me, give me a new life. You know, and you're saying goodbye to the old way of life and the oldness and the sins and all, and you're embracing God. The old is gone, you know, but there's a new you that will start growing, that will be alive. What is it to repent? Repentance isn't a drag. It's a gift. It's the ability to turn away from the old life, to turn away in God's love. You can't turn away from the old things unless you have something new to turn to. And so if you try in your own power, you don't have the power to really change. But it's the letting the power of God come into your life. It's letting go and letting God. You know, you can compare it to being like a bride, you know, in the sense that, you know, a bride, you know, is our souls are like a bride that always seeking to be married to something, to whether. And so we go after other things, money and fulfillment. This will give me fulfillment. That person will do it. This will do it. This will do it. You know, but he's the bridegroom. You know, he's the one who comes and he proposes. And if you say yes, well, it means what you have is his and what he has is yours. What you have is burdens and a lot of stuff, you know, all the good's going to pass. Anything that's nice is going to pass away anyway. But the stuff that you have, you also have sins and you have problems and you have the darkness, and you know, he'll take that. He takes that away. What does he have? All that is his. He has peace and love, eternal joy, true fulfillment, all those things to fill up your life, and that is yours, becomes yours, and eternal life. And you're not alone anymore because your burdens become his, your pain becomes his, your sins becomes his. That's what the cross is, you know? And everything and what is his becomes yours. All things are shared. You're not alone anymore, and you don't enter eternity alone either. His life, his love, his joy, his hope. He said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." But you need to follow him for that. You need to follow him. There's a way, and you got to go his way. You know, we got to be willing to turn away from everything else. And you know what? You can't hold on to anything anyway. So, you know, it's the wisest thing to let go of what you can't hold on to, that you might find and gain and receive what you cannot lose. Make him Lord. That's it. You know, it's, you know, if somebody's the president of another country, you can say, well, they're president, but they're not your president until they're, you know, the same with, you know, to say he's Lord doesn't mean anything unless he's really Lord of your life. That means you're following him, you know, and that's what it's about. It means, you know, hey, you're really Lord of my life. I'm making Lord. I'm going to follow you. You know, you might say, I believe in him, or I believe that he died for me, but that's not enough. It's when it's becomes real in your life. When it becomes real, it's like saying, I believe this person is a husband to someone else. No, but when they become your husband, when it's a relationship, that's when it changes your life. He said, come to me, and he brings you salvation, and he offers this to you. This is the greatest gift, the greatest choice. And so our part is to say simply yes. Is there a cost? Yeah. Yeah. You're saying, I will follow you, Lord. But is that more than worth it? Far more than worth it. Saying, I'm yours. I'll stand with you. I'll stand up against no matter what comes against. I'm turning away from the old. You might be into all sorts of things. It doesn't matter. You know, he'll give you the power to break out. And, you know, he never asks you to give up what is good or best for your life. He asks only to give up what is not, that he might give you what is. He's the God of restoration. You might have a life with all sorts of loose ends. He's the God of healing. If you're into drugs, he'll deal with it. Give it to him. You're into promiscuity, which ends up, you know, emptiness. Give it to him. He'll deal with it. You're into selfishness and anger or bitterness from the past. Give it to him. Anxiety, fear. Give it to him. You know, you don't try to, you're not going to get yourself perfect to come to him. You come as you are right now, as you are. You know, and he will receive you as you are, and then he'll deal with it. You know, the world is passing away, and one day we're all going to stand. You're going to stand before him, and the only thing that's going to matter is what you did with this right now, what you did with his love, you know? And this is the good news. This is the gospel foretold. It's the oldest truth. It's the newest truth. It's foretold in the ancient scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. Yet every day people's lives are being changed. The blessings of salvation, so that you might have a life of joy, of peace, a life of victory, a life of assurance, a life of confidence, a life of healing, a life of a blessing, a life where you can bless others by the power of the Spirit of God in your heart. That's God's will, that you would have life and have it abundantly. Now, let me give you this chance, wherever you are. You know, I don't want you to pray this unless you really mean it. This is a prayer to truly receive Jesus into your life and to receive God into your life, to trust him, receive his life, commit your life to him, begin your new life. Now, this is the thing. It's basically putting everything into his hands, trusting him, your problems, just put your life into his hands. You become a child of God through being born again. I'm going to lead in a simple prayer. Now, if you're not ready, turn off the tape and wait. But if you are, and don't wait too long, because this is your life. You know, your heartbeat away from eternity. Your life can stop right now. Your heart can stop right now. And that's it. And so he gave you that heartbeat is like him knocking on the door of your heart. A prayer to receive him, dedicate your life to him, let him cleanse you, let him bless you, let him give you a new life and follow him. It's all done in quietness. It's not thunder and lightning. Just like birth, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, it wasn't a big thing and she didn't necessarily feel it necessarily. It's by faith. It's not by feeling. You pray and God's promises, he receives you and he'll begin starting now. So let's begin right now, okay? Let's pray. If you're not 100% sure where you're spending eternity, if you're not sure you're born again, you need this now. And it's for life now, abundantly, and forever. So we're going to pray now together. I'm just going to lead in a simple prayer. You just ask wherever you are. Just repeat the words and mean it in your heart. This is to help you as you say it. Okay? Now let's begin. And this is for your blessing. Let's pray. After these words right now. Lord God, you can just repeat it in a whisper, but mean it in your heart. Lord God, I come to you now. This moment, I ask that you give me eternal life. Lord, I confess that I've fallen. I've messed up. I've sinned. I've done things I wish I hadn't. I've lived apart from you and for myself. Now, Lord, I come to you to become your child. I ask you, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, make me a new person. For this moment, I turn away from everything that's old. I turn away from my old way of life and living for myself. I give my life to you. I turn to the light. I'm coming home to you as my Father. I thank you. I place my trust in Jesus, that he died and rose for me, that he gave his life so I could be saved, that I might be forgiven, that I might have new life, that I might be born again and have everlasting life. Jesus, fill my heart. Come into my life now. I open my heart up to you. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Grant me this new life as I receive you now. Lord, I give you my burdens. I give you my problems. I give you all things in my life that are not of you and all that is. Now lead me as a shepherd as I commit my life to you and follow you from this moment on and all the days of my life. I make you, Lord, my number one, and I thank you. And now I receive you and your joy. I receive your love into my heart. I receive your cleansing. I receive your washing. I receive your blessing. I receive your presence. I receive your spirit. I receive a new beginning. I receive your assurance. I receive your peace. I receive you. And I thank you that according to your word and your promise and this prayer, I am now received by you. I am now received into your kingdom. I am now your child. You are now in my heart. I am born again of your spirit from the inside out. I have eternal life, and I thank you for all these things. Now lead me on as I follow you from this moment on and every day of my life. In the name of my Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations, because it's the greatest thing you could ever do. Now, listen closely, because in the minutes we have left, I'm going to quickly give you some of the most important things I can give you, including what next, the four foundations, how to get in touch, how to get more, including the free gift. It'll give you more detail. Now, first, you might feel different. You might not. It's not by feeling. Feelings will come, but it's deeper than feelings. It's truth, and it's your receiving God's promise, God's word that you are received. So go for it. Walk in it, and you'll see. Secondly, it's like the first birth. When you were conceived in secret, it happened without feeling. The new birth happens small. It grows as time goes on and you continue and you follow and you grow. The new life is going to grow. The love is going to grow. The joy is going to grow until it touches every part of your life. Now, the four foundations. Get a pen ready. Number one, the word. As bread is to the body, so God's word is to your spirit. You can't grow without it. Get a Bible version that you're comfortable in reading. Include in each day a regular time of reading and receiving his word. Make that absolute. I suggest you start with Matthew or one of the Gospels, one of the letters after that, and the Psalms are great. Read it regularly. Read when you feel like it and when you don't. View it as a joy, a privilege that you can receive the living word of God. And before you read, ask God to open up his word to your heart and your life. And he'll actually speak to you and he'll guide you. When you read, let it soak into your mind, your heart, and your emotions and your life. Number two, prayer. It's not about religious or repetitious things. It's simply getting heart to heart with God, pouring out the deepest things in your heart to your best friend, getting alone with God and receiving from him, letting him pour his heart and his word into your life. Make it a sacred thing. See it as the greatest privilege you have each day, to be alone in the quiet with God. Come as you are, get into the joy and the presence of God. You can actually dwell in the heavenlies now. Number three, action. Practice putting the word into action. Word says go, you go. Put love into action, put joy into action, put his word in every area of your life. Think even now, if there's something you can do, you can bless someone, you can forgive someone or be forgiven, do it or make something right. And spread salvation to others. It's the greatest thing to see other lives change. And here's where we can help. I told you that Finding New Life is available in special forms, everything from Finding New Life for Muslims, for Jewish people, for the skeptical, and they're in Spanish and other languages. To find out how you can obtain any of these or more cassettes or even in mass quantities and to give and to bless others, and we make them available as inexpensively as possible, just write to us. We'll send you samples, list of other special resources. And for the special free gift, The Secrets of the Abundant Life and First Steps, the sequel, to show you the practical keys of living a life of joy and fulfillment and prosperity that I promised I would seek to make available to you free as our gift. For all this, just write to Hope of the World, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and that's 07644 in the USA. The last foundation is fellowship. It's important you find a fellowship of believers, a congregation of born-again believers with love and joy and growing in the Bible as God's word, alive in the Spirit. You're never going to find a perfect place, but look to God and look to the good. Now, if someone gave you the cassette, or if there's an invitation or an address of a congregation near you on the back of the cassette or on a card that came with the cassette, you definitely get in touch with them and give them a visit. Check it out. You got nothing to lose. You just tell them Jonathan sent you and let them know you heard this tape. I'm sure they're going to want to bless you. And if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, something very special, you can meet us. It's real exciting and life-changing, and you'll love it. Just ask for the Beth Israel Worship Center in Lodi or Garfield or Northern New Jersey. Get in touch with us either at Hope of the World, okay? So listen, until then, press on, my friend, step by step on the path of new life into all that God has for you, and God greatly bless you.